This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. I want you to know that I consider this program we're doing tonight to be a very meaningful Thanksgiving gift to the survivors of the North Bay wildfire survivors. And I hope you will find that also. The topic is the Bay Area Resilience Collaborative. I'm going to spell resilience, and it's important that you get this. R-E-S-I-L-I-E-N-C-E, Collaborative. We'll be referring to it as B-A-R-C, which provides legal help for California North Bay wildfire survivors. There is a hotline, which I'd like you to jot down if you are one of the survivors. It's 415-575-3120. 415-575-3120. The BARC, that's the Bay Area Resilience Collaborative, BARC website is barc.org. My guests are, my guests are Carol Kahn, Director of Public Service Programs in the San Francisco Marin Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, Gloria Chun, Managing Attorney and Director of the Pro Bono Legal Services Program at the Justice and Diversity Center of the Bar Association of San Francisco, Tila Chalmers, CEO, that's the Chief Executive Officer of the Alameda County Bar Association, and is looked upon as the leader of BARC. And Dan Wade, an insurance attorney, he's with something called United Policy Holders, and that you might want to jot down this website, uphelp.org, uphelp.org. Dan is an insurance attorney, and UP Help, or United Policy Holders, is a nonprofit organization. He's also vice director of the American Bar Association Young Lawyers Division Disaster Legal Services Program. This segment of Your Legal Rights is funded by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Board of Legal Specialization, and by the National Board of Trial Advocacy. Let me turn to you, Tila, if you would. Tell us something about BARC, if you would. What is it all about?
So we are a coalition of legal services organizations that provide legal help to the public, mostly for free. And we were looking at being prepared for disaster. We were thinking, of course, about an earthquake, but the first disaster to come our way turned out to be the Northern California wildfires. Our members are my own organization, the Alameda County Bar Association, and our volunteer legal services corporation, the San Francisco Bar Association of San Francisco, and their Justice and Diversity
Center.
Thank you. Sudden blank.
That's a good word.
Yes.
Good word to use. Yeah.
I'm going to go with it. Also, Bay Area Legal Aid, which is the federally funded legal aid in our area. Organization called Pro Bono Net, which works to connect technology with legal services, the Legal Aid Association of California, and the State Bar of California. So we've been getting together for probably 2.5 years to try to plan how to deliver free legal services to people in the aftermath of a disaster. And with some funding from the Walter and Elise Haas Fund, which was really very helpful, we put together a plan. And we weren't maybe quite ready, but when the fires happened, yeah. we tried to jump into play. I should mention just generally that there are a lot of different legal issues that can be implicated in a disaster. People very commonly have a lot of insurance problems, landlord-tenant problems, employment questions, FEMA benefits problems, and all kinds of other things. And so we wanted to be ready to be able to answer some of those questions.
And for those of you who are listening to the live program, and we are doing this on Wednesday evening, this is November 22nd, here is our toll-free number. I'll be inviting you to call in, by the way, in about 25 minutes or so. But you might want to jot it down. Especially those of you who may have been victims of the wildfires and hopefully are survivors of the wildfires. It's 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. That's the toll-free number, and we'll get to you in about 25 minutes or so, if you'll bear with us. Carol, tell us something about the hotline, because this is really incredibly important for people.
Yeah. So, again, we had already a plan in place, and part of that plan was to very quickly put forward a hotline, a number where people could call, and when they called, be able to speak to somebody who'd already been trained, a volunteer attorney, with some training to be able to get advice and information. And so quickly we put together the phone number that would port over to the Bar Association's lawyer referral program in San Francisco, partly because we have a large phone bank. And our staff as well at the Lawyer Referral Service could help back up, you know, depending upon the number of calls that would come in. And so that hotline was launched October 17th.
Of this year.
This year, yeah. Just shortly after, obviously, the fires had happened. We wanted it to be as, you know, quickly disseminated the information, you know, as possible about the hotline. So we put flyer together, and it was translated into Chinese, Tagalog, and Spanish. That flyer went out to local assistance centers that had started to form in the Napa and Sonoma County areas. And we posted it everywhere on social media just to, again, try to signal that this was here for people who needed legal help. Since it launched, we've had over 130 calls. We've had numerous trained attorney volunteers. It's been gratifying to see the outpouring of interest and to help from the attorney volunteers. And Tila will talk a little bit more about that. Dan can talk a little more about that too. But that's in a nutshell. You know, the hotline is active. It's 8:30 to 5:30 every day. We had some extended hours into the evening in the first few weeks, and now don't necessarily need to have it as long through the day.
In that, here we are on Thanksgiving Eve, and tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and Friday is probably also a holiday where I'm assuming there's not going to be people in your office tomorrow, Thanksgiving or on Friday. However, my understanding is if you call the hotline, which is 415-575-3120, you can leave your name and phone number, and you will get a call back. If you need to get some help, you get a call back on Monday. Is that right?
Right. That's right. Thanks, Chuck, for bringing that forward. So, yeah, you can call. The hotline, frankly, is available 24/7. You can call at any time. Actually, what it asks you to do is to punch in your phone number for a call back.
I see.
And then we see that on our end and give a call back that next.
Would you tell us how extensive is the legal help that let's say someone has had his or her or their home obviously totally destroyed by the fire and are having a real problem in trying to get the insurance company, if hopefully they had insurance, help them. How much help can they get, Dan, in terms of pushing the insurance company? Let's go.
Yeah, thanks, Chuck. So if they call the hotline, they're going to get what we're calling brief advice, and the attorneys who are answering the phones have been trained on a number of issues, including insurance. So they should be able to point people in the right direction. One of the places that we want people to go is the uphelp.org website. In the claim help library that we've set up for the North Bay fires, there are all kinds of documents and resources that will help people with the insurance process, give them, you know, tips on negotiating with the insurance company, how to complete your personal property inventory, how to interview and find contractors. We also direct people towards the California Department of Insurance, who has a consumer services arm where people can file a complaint. And then something else that we've worked out is the local legal aid providers that are on the ground in Sonoma and Napa, if they have clients with significant insurance issues, we've facilitated insurance experts with the help of the San Francisco Trial Lawyers Association who will consult with non-specialists to help overcome insurance issues.
Well, that's terrific. I understand, if you can tell me this, There are some people who believe that PG&E is at fault for causing this.
Mm-hmm.
And there is one or more lawsuits that have been filed. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
How far in terms of the legal help through the organization of BARC, how far can someone expect that he or she or they will be helped with legal help? Keila, can you tell us that?
Sure. Well, I think that if people are interested in filing an affirmative lawsuit asserting that...
That means filing it with the court.
Filing with the court, a claim where you are the plaintiff and you're saying someone else is responsible for this fire or for the destruction of your home, then I would really suggest that you don't need this, our kind of free help. You need a lawyer, and you can probably get one who will represent you on a contingency fee basis. That means you don't pay them by the hour. You pay them out of any recovery that you might
get from the lawsuit. The attorney would get a percentage of whatever the recovery might be.
Exactly.
Whether it's a settlement or a judgment that is paid per a court judgment.
Exactly.
Okay.
The thing to look out for is that there certainly are a lot of people out there who are, a lot of lawyers out there who are advertising that they are specialists in wildfires or that they're collecting names for suing various people, including entities, including PG&E. And I would really encourage people to not necessarily get drawn into those. If someone is offering you help and it's not free all the way, it's help with the intent of signing you up to be a paying client, you might want to really consider instead calling your local bar association in whatever county you're in. Pretty much every county has a local bar association, and they run what's called a lawyer referral service. And you can be sure that the lawyer you're getting then is reputable and will handle things in an ethical way and also has the requisite experience to take that type of case.
I understand that FEMA is also involved. Dan, can you tell us a little bit about that? What's the extent of FEMA's involvement at this point?
Right. So in the case of a federally declared disaster,
that's what this is.
This is.
In the North Bay fires.
Absolutely.
Yes.
FEMA will come in, and depending on the amount of people affected, they will implement what's called individual assistance. And the individual assistance program allows individuals to register with FEMA, and they can apply for a cash award of up to $34,000. Typically, it's for those who are uninsured, but the deadline to register for that program is December 11th. And so mm-hmm. we encourage people who have not yet registered to do so.
How do you find out where to register? Can you Google FEMA and see what the application may be or what?
You can. Disasterassistance.gov is
uh-huh.
the website.
I see.
And if you are near one of the local assistance centers, there's still one operating in the city of Sonoma and a couple up in the North Bay, you can do it in person. And many people did visit the local assistance center in Santa Rosa. There was a lot of traffic there, and so FEMA was there on site to help people with that
process. So, again, there are apparently three websites that are very helpful for people in terms of educating themselves. There's uphelp.org, that's United Policy, your nonprofit organization that you are a staff attorney with, Dan. There's BARC.org,
it's actually Bay Area Resilience Collaborative.org. Which is why people have to know how to spell resilience.
Oh, so you can't do it. You can't do it by the initials.
You cannot.
Pardon me.
Yes.
Pardon me. Let me do that again. Bay, and this is all one word.
All one
all
word.
Right.
Yes.
Bay Area Resilience, ResILience, collaborative.org. So you've had your English lesson today, folks.
Yes.
Or spelling. Let's put it spelling. And the other one, Dan, is the one that you just mentioned for FEMA with regard to the application must be filed before or by no later than December 11th, disasterassistance.gov. That's for FEMA.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
I understand also, however, since we're talking about a deadline for FEMA, I understand, Tila, that there is another deadline, December 18th, which is for the EDD. What is that?
So it's an interesting thing. And the EDD, the Employment
Development Department.
I just can't
Center. We don't want center in this one.
This one does not have center.
Right. No center.
The EDD is what is the organization, the statewide organization that administers unemployment claims. But in an aftermath of a disaster, people, of course, some of people lose their jobs. And you may, those people may actually just qualify for regular unemployment insurance and they can go get that. But there are others who don't qualify for unemployment, perhaps because they're self-employed.
Yes.
Or because they've already used up their unemployment and now they can't get another bite at the apple. Those people can apply for disaster unemployment insurance, and the deadline for that application is December 18th.
And how do they go about finding out
they
about that?
They go to EDD.gov.
.gov, okay. Yeah. And that one you can use the initials EDD.
Yes. They're way ahead of us.
Okay,
yeah,
all right. They're way ahead.
Light years. Yeah.
They're way ahead. One of the things that I would be concerned about, since I am a consumer advocate, is if someone gets to the point, a survivor of the wildfires gets to a point of deciding, I think I really need a private attorney to help me. How do you protect yourself, Tila, in that situation? What would you recommend that they do before they sign, which California requires, a contractual arrangement? How do you protect yourself?
Well, so I would certainly check. The State Bar has a website where you can go and look up every licensed attorney in California, and you can see if they've been subject to discipline. Not everybody who's been subject to discipline is barred from practicing law, but it would certainly be a really important information point for you. The State Bar website, not to drown you in websites, is calbar.ca.gov, and right there on the front page is where you can type in the name of any attorney and find out what their record is. Also, the uphelp.org site has a lot of information on how you might go about deciding whether you need an attorney and how to find one if you do.
I think that's very important. Yeah, terribly important. You brought with you to the studio, to KLW, the helping handbook that has been put together with respect to the North Bay fires. This is in more than just in English, is it not, Carol?
That's right. It is an amazing resource that is available in English and now also in Spanish. It has all kinds of different information for also the attorney volunteers to use, as well as others. And this was an effort pulled together through one of the larger law firms in the city, Morrison & Forrester, through their pro bono department, basically putting this together. It literally came together, in a weekend or something?
Yes, over a weekend.
And I think it may be a moment, too, to I know Gloria is also with us, and she can speak a bit more to this, but the outpouring of interest to help from the attorneys to assist the public.
Would you do that, Gloria? Tremendous. Tell us what you're finding. What have you found in terms of people volunteering to help? Gloria, are you there? Did we lose Gloria?
Yes.
Oh, you are there. Okay. Did you hear my question?
Yes, I did hear your question.
Could you give us some information about this? What kind of response have you gotten on this?
The volunteer attorney response has been overwhelming and very heartening to see. It's striking that the vast majority of calls to the hotline are about insurance questions and housing and real estate and landlord-tenant. They are very immediate needs, right? People's housing and their protection and their property. And a lot of attorneys have stepped forward, really more attorneys than we have volunteer slots for, stepped forward right away and offered to take training that would help them answer basic questions and refer people the right way. And in a situation like this, where I think a lot of people are feeling really shocked and helpless about what happened, it has been really great to see that lawyers can use their specialized skill set and really are stepping up and volunteering to sit on the phone and talk with people who are very upset and are and talk through their questions and point them the right way, just give them a head start on how to address their issues. And I wanted to note that since the FEMA deadline is December 11th, that the hotline and the volunteers staffing it will be active through December 11th at least, because we are having people call and ask questions about how to file a FEMA claim or what happens if, you know, something gets denied. And I do want to note that the volunteers are there to help with that, and they will be there through the deadline date.
Very good. Very good. Let me ask the four of you this. If someone is a tenant, what is the problem for that person, if any? Tilla, would you start us on that?
Sure. So when a tenant of an apartment or a house that has been affected by the fires may have two separate problems. There's sometimes they want to go back, and the landlord is telling them they can't. Sometimes they don't want to go back, and the landlord is saying, no, you're bound to come back. The law says that if your property, if the unit is totally destroyed, the tenancy is ended. You don't owe any more rent. The landlord, you can't move back there. Everything is gone. You two go your separate ways. But if the property is partly destroyed or has been damaged, for example, by smoke, then the tenancy continues. The tenant has a right to go back and must continue to pay the rent. Now, theoretically, if it is damaged, the property, then the tenant really shouldn't be paying the full rent. The trick here to really look out for is that the first thing a tenant should do would be to call the landlord and say, look, there's a big hole in my wall. Yeah. I don't think I should pay full rent. Don't you agree? And hopefully they come to some agreement. If the landlord doesn't agree, your remedy is to pay your full rent and then go to small claims court. What you don't want to do is decide on your own that you're just going to pay less rent, because that will get you evicted.
Sure, sure. A notice of termination will be the next thing that you'll receive in writing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
All right, here's a question that was just brought into the studio. The White House is requesting Congress to allocate $44 billion for supplemental disaster aid, and California is being cut out completely. Most of it is going to Texas and Florida. Why are those disaster victims more deserving of federal funding? Will this lack of federal disaster aid be a setback in the North Bay's effort to rebuild? Carol, do you want to take that one on?
Well, I think, you know, in scope, not that one compares disasters, but, you know, Hurricane Harvey and certainly Irma have been geographically, you know, very devastating. Large geography is devastated. I think it is problematic if, you know, California is not included in this. I think there has been politics at play between Washington and California. I think that's certainly not a secret. So I don't know to what extent it would necessarily, it potentially has the, you know, potential to impact how quickly and what resources are made available. Mm-hmm. So to, you know, for rebuilding. So
Dan, what thoughts do you have on this?
Yeah, and I think one of the other things that may be at play here is that most people who suffer damage, and by most I mean 70% at least, in Hurricane Harvey, did not have flood insurance.
Uh-huh.
And so contrast that, I think, to our situation, where it's probably the opposite of people that do have fire insurance. You know, more people have fire insurance than not. So sometimes federal disaster aid is determined on the basis of whether the affected people were insured or not. So that may be somewhat driving this.
Mm-hmm. This is Tila. I just wanted to say that actually one of our, I think, most pressing issues relating to rebuilding is going to be the question of affordable housing. And there was a lot of affordable housing or moderately affordable housing that was destroyed in these fires. And each of the locations really is going to have to grapple with how they're going to manage not having all that very valuable property gobbled up by market rate housing, because that's what will really determine the future of those counties going forward.
What about someone who had a small business or maybe a medium-sized business that was destroyed in the wildfires? How does that person deal with that? Let me ask you that, Dan. Small business person or maybe someone of a medium-sized business who's obviously devastated, the business is wiped out, loss of income, the building gone, etc. How does that person deal with this?
Right. So most businesses would have a business insurance policy that would cover physical damage to the property. Mm-hmm. And within that, there's a coverage for business interruption. And that typically will kick in when the building itself is destroyed and they're no longer able to conduct their business operations, or at least not until it's rebuilt and they're mm-hmm. up and running again. There's also contingent business interruption, which comes into play as a separate coverage where the building itself might still be standing, but maybe the roads are blocked or the community surrounding the business is completely destroyed. And so there aren't going to be any customers, and there may also be access issues to the building itself.
Mm-hmm. How does someone get this wonderful handbook, which is, it looks like it's got about 40 pages in it. How does someone get it?
You can actually find it on the Bay Area Resilience Collaborative.org website. It's also on the court's website, so you'll find it at courtinfo.ca.gov/self-help.
Give that again, would you?
courtinfo.ca.gov/self-help. It's a very helpful site where you'll find all kinds of good resources about justice and the court system.
That's our California court system, everyone. Yes. We have just about come to the end of the statewide version of the program, which is half an hour, and the station KLW will send this out to a number of stations in California, which will air the program next week. Everybody, I want to give you a chance now to call in. If you have a question with respect to if you've been a victim of the fires, or perhaps you have a question, you've been a victim of some other hazardous situation and you would like to pose a question, make a comment, etc. Our toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Please don't feel embarrassed or don't feel shy. Please call. I mean, that's the whole point of this program, to give you a chance to participate in it with whatever questions or problems you may have. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County. For a referral to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services Program of the San Francisco Bar, here's the phone number if you'd like to jot it down. 415-989-1616. 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, San Mateo County has a Bar Association also and a lawyer referral service. That number is 650-369-4149. 650-369-4149. In California, with minor exception, every county has a bar association and lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours, tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone, an attorney who's experienced in the area that you're having the difficulty in, set you up for a half an hour consultation with the attorney, and you'll pay, with minor exception in California, wherever you may be, you'll pay between $25 and $35 for the half an hour consultation. That money does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service. That's a great consumer service. I hope you don't need it, but it's available to you. We are talking about the Bay Area Resilience Collaborative. And the website, again, is Bay Area Resilience, R-E-S-I-L-I-E-N-C-E, collaborative.org. It's all one long word, Bay Area Resilience Collaborative.org, which has a lot of wonderful information on it for you. We also have the other website of uphelp.org, which is the United Policyholders nonprofit organization that we've been talking about. Disasterassistance.gov for FEMA, disasterassistance.gov. Let me tell you who's here, and I want to encourage you again to call in if you have questions. Toll-free 866-798-8255. My guests are Carol Kahn, Director of Public Service Programs and the San Francisco Marin Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, Gloria Chun, Managing Attorney and Director of the Pro Bono Legal Services Program at the Justice and Diversity Center of the Bar Association of San Francisco, Tila Chalmers, Chief Executive Officer of the Alameda County Bar Association. She is also looked upon as the leader of the Bay Area Resilience Collaborative. And Dan Wade, an insurance attorney and vice director, of the American Bar Association Young Lawyers Division Disaster Legal Services Program. He's a staff attorney at United Policyholders. So please take advantage of the fact that my guests are here, and they're here to help you. And we're doing this program live on Wednesday evening. It's November 22nd. It's Thanksgiving Eve. And when Carol Kahn suggested that we do this, it was unnatural as a gift for Thanksgiving for people who have been victims and hopefully are survivors of the North Bay wildfires that took place in the last several weeks. So if you are one of the survivors, join us. If you've been involved in some other kind of a horrendous kind of problem, join us with your questions. What have we not talked about at all, Dan, that you would like to... I mean, if people are having problems with insurance carriers, what suggestions do you have?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's important for people to remember that it is a long process. It is not a sprint. It is a marathon. It's also a business negotiation. Despite what you might have heard in the nice advertisements from lots of insurance companies about being there for you, they still require quite a bit of proof and documentation and negotiation in order to settle your claim. So I think the biggest thing that I stress to people in this type of situation is to take it slow, to remember that there's going to be a lot of money thrown at you, and that
What do you mean by that, a lot of money thrown at you? What do you mean by that?
Well, a couple of things. So the insurance commissioner of the state of California, who heads the Department of Insurance, asked insurance companies who do business in the state that had customers who were affected by the North Bay fires to advance 25% of the personal property limit, so the contents of your house, and also 4 months of the additional living expense coverage, which would pay for the temporary housing that most people will need to be in for 2 years or more while their house is being rebuilt. But I think a lot of people, when they get money from their insurance company, they're not exactly sure what it's for, and they often are not sure whether they can get more. If I cash this check, am I able to continue to negotiate for more? And similarly with the house itself, the structure portion of your insurance proceeds, the insurance company is going to give you a large chunk of money very early on in the process. And most people that we've communicated with have already received some amount of money. But usually it's not the full policy limits with all the extensions that are possible. And they're going to be in for a long negotiation process to collect replacement cost, and usually the money will then be doled out over the next 2 years or more.
So if they have received something from the insurance company, an initial check, and should they hold on to it and not deposit it, or what would you recommend, generally speaking, unless on the check it says payment in full? Obviously, if it says payment in full, you want to be very cautious about that. But what cautions do you have,
right,
generally speaking?
Right. So an insurance company can't close the claim by sending you a check saying this is the full and final settlement. So people are free to deposit the money. We typically recommend that people deposit all insurance checks, and especially the ones related to the house itself, in a separate bank account.
So you set up a separate bank account for this.
Right.
And not your regular bank account.
Right. And those checks for the house itself, if you have a mortgage, they'll also have to be endorsed by the mortgage company.
I see.
So there's a little bit of a process there. But yeah, people are free to accept the checks, but what we suggest is send a confirming letter or email whenever you receive money saying, this is what I understand this money to be for, and I'm just double checking that this is not any sort of final settlement, just so you create a paper trail.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good lesson for the whole process, is take notes of all the conversations you have.
You're really serious. You're talking about writing down or typing out, if you have a computer or something to record this.
And do as much as you can in writing.
Okay. All right. That makes an awful lot of sense. All right. Again, our toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Cindy, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling on behalf of a friend who is a newspaper delivery person, and 60 customers lost their homes. And I'm wondering if there's any help for her loss of income. Because even though it's her income and her business, she doesn't have a physical structure other than her vehicle that she would deliver papers. And I was just wondering, any help for her and any other paper delivery people?
Where is she located, Cindy?
In Napa.
She's in Napa? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Can Cindy hang up, or do you have any questions for her? Okay.
I have a question for her.
Yeah, go ahead.
Tila
has a question for you, Cindy.
Cindy, do you know if she self-employed, or is she an employee of an entity?
I believe she's self-employed. I will double-check that. She's asleep right now because she gets up and delivers all night.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think she's self-employed. I'm pretty sure.
That makes sense.
She depends on those players. Yeah, she depends on every subscription.
All right. Can we give Cindy some response for her friend?
It seems to me, this is Tila, it seems to me that the unemployment disaster assistance would apply to her because it is particularly for self-employed people. And so that might cover, she'd obviously have to bring some documentation of what her delivery route was and how it was affected. But I would really encourage her, if she goes to edd.ca.gov,
can you repeat that again, please?
It's EDD, like Employment Development Division.
Oh, right.
EDD.ca.gov. They have an online way to apply. You can also apply by phone for disaster unemployment assistance. I would just remind you, though, that the deadline for that is December 18th. So do it sooner rather than later. You don't want to be doing it on the 18th either.
Oh, right. No, absolutely not. I was hoping she could get some help. This is wonderful. Thank you.
Of course. And if she has any other questions, she can always call the hotline and ask some follow-up questions.
Yeah, and again, that number, Cindy, this is Carol, that number again, 415-575-3120. She can also punch in her number, and we'll call her back on Monday as
well. Yeah, so she can call anytime in the next few days,
mm-hmm.
and her call will be returned
right,
on Monday.
Right, and then we'll be back in business on Monday, 8:30 to 5:30.
Cindy, thank you very much for calling, and were you able to get down the websites that Tila told you?
I did.
Okay,
thank you.
Good.
Absolutely.
All right, take
thank
care.
Thank you very much.
Take
thank
care.
You
Again, I think it's very important that people educate themselves, and I want everybody to get all of this information. Tila just said the website for the EDD department, edd.ca.gov. Also, if you are someone who might benefit from some FEMA help, disaster, D-I-S-A-S-T-E-R, assistance, assistance.gov. The Bay Area Resilience Collaborative.org. You spell out the whole thing, B-A-Y, AREA Resilience, RESILIENCE, Collaborative, collaborative.org. That could be very helpful. We also have the another website, which I think you should have. It's uphelp.org. That's Dan's United Policy nonprofit organization that he's a staff attorney for. All of this can be very helpful in educating yourself so you go in the right direction. And we have now John from Vallejo. John, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi. I'm from the Bay Area. I grew up here. Now, tell me, with the insurance, would it be better for a homeowner to get earthquake insurance or flood insurance here in the Bay Area? Okay, that's my question. Okay, goodbye.
Okay, let me see if I can. Yeah, go ahead, Dan, please.
Yeah, so certainly the earthquake insurance take-up rate in the state of California and the Bay Area is very low. I think the last statistic I saw was 12% of homeowners carried earthquake insurance. A couple of reasons for that are that it's expensive. The premium is typically going to be more than your homeowner's premium. It will cover less with a higher deductible. That's a long-term advocacy priority of our organization to make earthquake insurance more affordable and accessible. It's a complicated question. It's a financial decision. In terms of flood insurance, you can go to a website which is called floodsmart.gov. That's the federal flood program's website, and you can actually check the flood maps to see if you are in a flood zone. And if you're in a certain high-risk zone, your mortgage lender would have required you to buy flood insurance. But even if you're not, what I think Hurricane Harvey and Irma and a number of the floods we've had in the last couple of years have taught us is that many people who are not in flood zones are getting flooded and are at risk. And unfortunately, for homeowners, earthquake and flood are both clearly excluded from a homeowner's insurance policy. So, sure, if you have a lot of extra money to spare, buying all three policies will make sure that you are adequately protected. But it's a difficult thing for most people, and we're definitely hoping that in the future the market will be better for those things.
All right, let me give you the toll-free number again, 866-798-8255. Please don't wait another 10 minutes because we'll be close to closing the program. 866-798-8255. Here's a question that was brought into the studio here. Are there timetables for assistance? Question mark. Is that information available online? Question mark. Carol, do you understand the question?
I have to look to my distinguished colleagues here because I'm not sure.
Now, who are you referring to? What's distinguished colleague?
Of course, the host. But, you know, perhaps at some of the websites we've talked about, there's some information.
Sheila, do you have any thought on that?
Well, it sounds like part of the question is about the deadlines.
Yes.
And I think what we know is that the deadline for FEMA cash assistance is December 11th. It is possible they will extend that deadline, but I certainly would not bank on
that. No, don't.
The unemployment disaster assistance deadline has already been extended, so I don't think that it will be extended further, and it is December 18th. If you apply for FEMA financial assistance and everything is peachy, you may get your payment relatively quickly. If, however, they kick it out because they're something that they think you are ineligible or you didn't fill out the paperwork right, it may take some time. If they deny your request, you do have the right to an appeal. And that's a good time to come check in with your local legal aid organization and get some help with that appeal, because that's something they'll be offering help with.
Now, that legal aid, essentially nearly every county has a legal aid organization. Is that right?
That is mostly right. And what a good opportunity for me to just clarify that we're on the radio here today because we're here in San Francisco, but really the heroes of the hour, besides Dan, he's a hero of the hour, but are the legal aid of Sonoma County, California Rural Legal Assistance, Legal Services of Northern California, and Bay Area Legal Aid.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on which county you are, one or more of those will be holding events in your area. These phone numbers and contact information is all in the back of the Helping Handbook, which, as we mentioned, is at BayAreaResilienceCollaborative.org.
Now, is that something that can be sent out to people, the handbook itself, or do you just download it on your computer? Do you know?
There are some physical copies. Morrison and Forster was kind enough to send a number of them up into the affected areas, and so they're available at the legal aid offices.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, you can always download it, and it's posted in a number of places.
All right. All right. Again, the hotline number that I'd like all of you to have if you have been affected by the wildfires, 415-575-3120. Elaine, welcome to your legal rights.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
About 4 years ago, my mother's house caught on fire in San Francisco. And I'm just wondering, is there a way to tell to figure out what caused that fire?
And how long ago was this, Elaine?
It was in 2016.
2016, and no one has yet determined or made an effort to determine what caused the fire?
No.
Really? I find that strange. Did your mother have insurance, home insurance on her property?
Yes, but when we went to collect the insurance to get help, they said that we didn't have code upgrades, so we didn't have enough money to get the house fixed.
And did the insurance company pay off whatever it was that the insurance company felt was what was appropriate? They did?
Yes, but it wasn't enough. So we're in the process of selling the house.
Well, let me get some comments from Dan on this. You have not gone to an attorney, Elaine?
Yes. We went to one of those, what do you call them, administrators that help try to get more funds from the insurance companies?
A public adjuster?
Yeah, that's right, adjuster.
Dan, what comments do you have for Elaine while she's online?
Yeah, I have a few questions. So were you paid the full limits of the policy?
I guess.
You're not sure. You're not sure, huh?
Mm-hmm.
How much did they pay, Elaine? How much did your mother had?
It was about $800,000.
And your mother's home was in San Francisco or what?
Yeah, San Francisco.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What do you think that the value of the home was?
Oh, it was about $2
million. $2
million. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, if it was the case that you are underinsured, there's possible recourse against the agent who sold you the policy. Those cases are very difficult to bring.
Yeah.
They're very fact-specific.
Mm-hmm.
But, in terms of, the investigation, you suspect that it was, you said cause, you suspect there was arson involved or something
like
that?
Well, I don't know. I was just wondering.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't on purpose, but,
right. I mean, typically insurance companies, as part of the investigation that they're required to do when you file a complaint or a claim,
mm-hmm.
will send an investigator out that will look at cause and origin. And in addition, the Department of Insurance has a whole team of fire investigators, and they show up at most loss sites to do their own analysis. So I'm surprised that neither of those things would have happened or if they did, maybe.
Where is your mom now, Elaine?
We found her in an apartment in Berkeley.
Mm-hmm. How old is your mom?
86.
Yeah. Have you become her advocate on this issue?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Do you know if the insurance company did an investigation to determine how the fire occurred?
Maybe they did, and maybe I just don't remember.
My suggestion would be, frankly, I think it's worth it for you to get back in touch with the insurance company to begin with. See did you deal with anyone, you personally deal with anyone from the insurance company?
Well, it's interesting that about 2 years before the fire started, I called the insurance company and I said, give us a policy, like if anything were to ever happen, that it would have complete coverage.
Oh, my.
And it went up, the monthly amount went way up. But then when the fire happened, they said that we didn't have something called code coverage.
Well, frankly, the fire occurred last year.
Well, it was actually, let's see, I think it was 2014, I'm sorry.
2014, so that's 3 years.
Yeah.
I think it would be very important for you to, since you are in San Francisco, I think you need to call the lawyer referral service, to begin with, to call the lawyer referral service for the Bar Association of San Francisco. Do you have that number?
Yes, sometimes.
Well, here, let me give you the phone number.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think what it needs to be done, I am wondering here if there may be some potential negligence on the part of the agent or the insurance company for not properly setting up the coverage of your mother's home. So here's the phone number. Do you have something to write with?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 415-989-1616.
Okay.
That's lawyer referral for the Bar Association of San Francisco. And I think you need to take the time and the effort. I mean, this is what being a good consumer is. You need to take the time, you need to be patient, and you need to move forward. I think you should start by seeing if you could speak with someone, with an attorney through the lawyer referral service who has had experience in dealing with fire cases or whatever it may be. Starting there, and see if there is someone, an attorney you can sit down with and find out what kind of course of action you might take. Carol, do you have any thoughts for her on this?
Yeah, Elaine, this is Carol. So I just wanted to signal, too, that it's important, that information that you brought out, that, in fact, the policy, you negotiated how to cover everything and paid a higher premium, and in the end, it wasn't as you thought it would be. And that's definitely something that a lawyer would take a look at and want to analyze and help you understand.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for your recommendations.
Yeah.
I appreciate your show.
Thank you for your
move
call.
Move forward, Elaine. It's very important. While still you're probably within the statute of limitations to do something. So, I'm not sure. I'm not giving you legal advice because I'm not permitted to do so. But
I want to get your thoughts about this.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Good luck. Good luck and happy Thanksgiving to you and your mom. Here's another question before we end the program. We still have about 3 or 4 minutes. It's still early, but many homeowners who lost their homes will rebuild on the same sites. It's likely that this area may be susceptible to wildfires in the future. What, if any, plans are being developed to make sure that the new homes will be more fire resistant? I've heard this before, and I think it's a very important thing. Any thoughts that you might have, Dan, on that?
Yeah, so our organization's been really heavily involved in this growing problem of insurance availability and affordability in wildfire-prone areas, and even areas that are not necessarily prone to wildfires, but may be close to, you know, what we call the wildland-urban interface, which would include such things as the Oakland Hills or many parts of Santa Rosa that burned. And one of the key pieces, that we're working on to try to keep insurance companies in the market and to try to promote resiliency in communities that are at risk is home hardening, home mitigation, getting dollars into communities to do mitigation work. And I think homeowners will have choices as they go through their rebuild process. to, you know, perhaps select a metal roof as opposed to a traditional roof. There are, you know, brush clearance and different things that people can do as they landscape and maintain their properties in the future. So there's a lot to be done on that, and I think many of the communities that face these risks are very aware of the issues and actively working on it.
I think that's a very good question, and I thank whoever put it together for bringing it to us. Let me give you again the hotline number for the Bay Area Resilience Collaborative. It's 415-575-3120. And here are the websites that I want you to jot down if you haven't gotten them yet. And this is very important in terms of you educating yourself if you are having problems. The first one is Bay Area Resilience, R-E-S-I-L-I-E-N-C-E, Collaborative, collaborative.org. It's all one word, .org. Dan's nonprofit organization, the website is uphelp.org, uphelp.org. The Department of Development, what is it, EDD?
Employment.
Development Department.
Yeah, edd.ca.gov. And then FEMA, remember there's a December 11th date limitation. That you might want to look into. And that website is Disaster, D-I-S-A-S-T-E-R, Assistance, A-S-S-I-S-T-A-N-C-E .gov. So those are things that are available to you that will help in terms of you if you need help, further help. And again, I am a great believer in people educating themselves. And if you're in a county that, for example, and most counties in California have a bar association and lawyer referral service, if you feel that you need some help locally where you are, contact your lawyer referral service in the county where you are through the bar association and have an initial consultation with an attorney. But also, please, I hope you have gotten these websites. Again, the California court website is www.courtinfo.ca.gov/self-help. I want to thank you very much for joining us, you four wonderful supporters of the Bay Area Resilience Collaborative, and they are Carol Kahn, Gloria Chun, Tila Chalmers, and Dan Wade. I thank you very much for joining us. It's been great to have you on the program. Thank you for the wonderful gift you have provided for Thanksgiving for those people who really need it. Next time on Your Legal Rights, our topic is California landlord-tenant laws, disputes, and issues. My guests will be landlord-tenant and real estate attorneys. And also on Wednesday, November 29th, we will have our monthly Call a Lawyer night from 7 to 8 p.m. wherever you may be, anywhere in the United States. That will be 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights was made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Board of Legal Specialization, and the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which also funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program for national distribution. Thank you for joining us on Your Legal Rights Public Radio, and I hope you join us next time on your public radio station. And I wish all of you a very happy Thanksgiving. I'm Chuck Finney.